This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's Thursday, December 7th, 2017. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got sunny skies, but it is very cold right now. 22 degrees at the lakefront. The wind chill index is 10 above. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by MegaPros Home Improvement and Remodeling. The Dow has been gaining altitude, especially in the last hour and a half. Let's get the latest on the numbers now from Elisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
Well, we are seeing these gains accelerate, as you mentioned, Rob and Chris. The Dow up now 99 points, 24,240. The NASDAQ higher by 40 points, S&P up 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is headed higher by 0.2%. We're seeing gains for crude oil futures. That's helping to lift the energy sector, advancing more than 1% and above $56.50 a barrel. The blue chips are also being helped by stock in GE. Almost 20% of General Electric's electric power workforce is being slashed, 12,000 job cuts in all. Investors do like the cost savings. GE is the world's largest maker of gas turbines, and that business has been hurt by a global push into renewable energy. U.S. employers in general have scaled back job cutting this year, though they sped things up in November. According to executive placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas, last month employers announced plans to lay off more than 35,000 workers. That was a 30% hike from November of 2016 and a 17% rise from this past October. As for weekly jobless claims, they dropped by 2,000 to a five-week low. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, there are reasons to think that the economy will continue to firm in the new year. There are also reasons to believe that we could see a recession in the next year or two. We're talking about that. And the climate problem on the West Coast right now and the fires could affect the economy there.
The Bitcoin bubble continues to inflate. We'll talk about that, where it's going, and when the pop might occur. And then, would you like to treat the tollway like a sporting event where tolls go up during rush hours? One city is doing that. We'll talk about the policy coming up.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Wildfires are wreaking havoc in Southern California. Well, let's take a look at their economic impact in our next segment. That's coming up. But right now, a report on job cuts is out ahead of tomorrow's Labor Department employment report for November. And the possibility of a federal government shutdown is looming. We are joined by Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief at Bankrate.com in Washington. Mark, thanks for joining us today. First question, what kind of impact would a federal government shutdown present?
Well, if it happens, and we don't know if it will, but we've seen this movie before. Essentially, some economic activity is delayed. You might think of it as a mini hurricane. It has impact for federal workers, particularly contractors. But I don't think it's a done deal that it's going to occur. In other words, I think that still there may be a late night effort to kick the can down the road 2 or 3 weeks. So we'll see. It's nothing for us to be losing any sleep over, but it's not a good commentary on the way that we may do our business in the federal government.
As we look at the economy right now, there are questions about how much further can we go here with the markets, especially, and with the economy before pulling back a bit.
A pullback for the stock market was due a long time ago. So to that extent that we've only gone higher and farther makes the case even more. The thing about a pullback is we never know when it's going to occur per se, and we never know how long it's going to last or how deep it will go. Stocks go up, stocks go down, and we need to be prepared for both eventualities and realize that that's the way markets proceed.
Let's talk about the employment picture, and that the pace of layoffs is at its lowest level since 1997, unless you are in the retail sector, where the fact that it's 2017 is painfully obvious.
Sure, and this is part of the natural evolution of the economy, is sectors evolve and have new forms of competition. And so, as you mentioned, we had the Chicago-based challenger Gray & Christmas announce that job cuts were up 30% from November a year ago last month, but still year to date, it's the lowest total in 20 years. That's consistent with what we've known. New claims for unemployment benefits are remarkably low, the measure of people seeking their federal unemployment insurance. The question has always been, for the last, I would say, 3 or 4 or 5 years, what's the level of hiring? The level of hiring is good. We expect to have about 200,000 jobs added in the report due Friday. In the last several months, we've averaged a little more than 160,000, but that's been distorted by the impacts of the hurricane, hurricanes and the flooding, and that's the outlook for 2018 as well. We just conducted our quarterly economic survey at Bankrate.com, and economists look for steady hiring over the course of the next year, and they look for the unemployment rate to go a little lower.
And very quickly, Mark, we've been seeing the job gains, but we haven't seen gains in wages specifically as we'd like to see.
Yeah, and that's really the key, is that it's been frustratingly low. But if we do see the unemployment rate go into the 3% range next year, as I expect, if nothing untoward and totally unexpected occurs, I think we will see wages continue to rise. They had been stuck in a path of about 1.5% on a year-over-year basis, now about 2.5%. We could get closer to 3% in the coming year.
Thanks a lot. Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief, Bankrate.com, based in Washington. Up next, California wildfires causing damage to homes and the economy.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Tens of thousands of people in Southern California have been forced from their homes by wind-whipped wildfires. Let's talk about the impact on the economy with Winnie O'Kelly, executive editor of Bloomberg News, based in New York. Winnie, welcome back to the program. Some of the images that are coming out of the wildfire zone are simply remarkable. I mean, we might have all seen on social media yesterday the picture of the traffic jam on the freeway as the hills were literally on fire surrounding the cars. But this wildfire has scorched tens of thousands of acres, burned down many homes, and really putting a dent in the Southern California economy. So what's really taking the most impact right now from this fire?
Well, at the moment, we're kind of looking at what the losses might be. I think there's some relief, frankly, that there hasn't been more loss of life, looking at it from just a humanitarian point of view. When you look at it from a business point of view, you kind of look at it from two factors. One is, what will the impact be on the local economy? And although I know some TV and entertainment and other things have been disrupted out there for now, it will probably be a very small blip on the very large California economy in the long run. The other thing, of course, is the impact on the insurance business, which is an important one for us in all of this. The insurers and the reinsurers will wind up shouldering a great deal of the loss. And this has been a year of catastrophic losses for that industry.
What about the hospitality and wine industries?
Right. Well, you know, back in October, we had those devastating fires up in wine country around Santa Rosa. And I too, was just, you know, wedded to the TV watching some of that because they advanced so very quickly and people had literally minutes to get out in many cases. When all was said and done, there was devastation across some large stretches of communities and suburbs. They've now estimated that the cost of the insurance industry, so that's insured losses, was about $9 billion in those October fires. I think it's far too soon to have any estimate of how bad it's going to be around the L.A. area from what we're seeing so far.
Has there been a year like this in the history of the insurance industry where you have hurricanes in Houston, you have hurricane in Florida, you do have the Northern California wildfires, now you have the Southern California wildfire that's bearing down on Bel Air in Los Angeles and some really expensive real estate?
It's a little soon to say whether it's an absolute, but it's looking like it could well be a record year. At the end of the summer, in late fall, we were looking at estimated losses of about $100 billion, and they could go much higher than that. Some had said maybe $190 billion on a pre-tax basis for the catastrophic losses this year. That includes things like Maria, the hurricane. From that, it was like $85 billion. Harvey, which we remember, certainly was like $25 billion. Irma, 50. And those are just rough estimates. It takes quite a long time to figure out exactly how big the losses are. As we know, many people, many homes are still sitting, you know, that after they were flooded, waiting for reconstruction, waiting to be returned back to the owners, and trying to figure out how they will be reconstructed. So, yeah, it looks like a great year. It's a bit ironic in some cases. I was just looking at the stock performances of some of the biggest property insurers. They're actually doing okay, and I think that's because it has been such a bad year. Stock markets tend to look ahead, and they're looking ahead to next year being somewhat better after this devastating year.
Winnie, thanks for joining us today. Winnie O'Kelly is executive editor at Bloomberg News in New York. And just a note here that there has been a significant drought over the past 5 years in this area, and that is what is also adding to the destructiveness there.
Business news next.
UABM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look now at the market, sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialist. And here is Lisa Parenti.
Well, Chris, the Dow higher by 90 points, or more than a third of a percent. NASDAQ is up 41 points, or two-thirds of a percent. And the S&P advancing 9 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by more than half a percent, being lifted in part by Sears. A major investor says Sears would do better without Wall Street kicking it around. Shares of Sears Holding up more than 6.5%. After Memento Investments recommended that the retailer go private. Memento owns nearly 2 million shares and says it believes in the long-term value of Sears stores, brands, and employees. Now we've got a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed trade here today. Early in the day, we saw some plus numbers. Corn's been down 2.25 to up 3/4 at the moment. March down 1.5 at 351.25. Beans have been down 14 to up 3 at the moment. Beans for January down 10 at 993. And wheat's been down 6 to up 0.5. We're presently down 4.75 in March wheat at 420.75. Mostly lower across the board in the grains. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are trading higher today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Technology Thursday, Bitcoin mania continues amid fears that the end could be near.
There's a growing use of surge pricing on toll roads in the U.S. We'll see what the future could hold for Chicago area drivers.
Mayor Emanuel backs school CEO Forrest Claypool as calls for the CPS chief to come down grow louder.
Minnesota Senator Al Franken will resign because of accusations of sexual misconduct, the latest coming up in a CBS News special report.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 90, the NASDAQ up 42, and the S&P 500 up by 10 points.
AccuWeather says breezy and very cold this afternoon, going up to 29. It's 12:31.
CBS News update. With several women alleging sexual impropriety on the part of Al Franken before he became a U.S. senator from Minnesota, Franken announced this morning that he's going to resign.
Let me be clear. I may be resigning my seat, but I am not giving up my voice. I will continue to stand up for the things I believe in as a citizen and as an activist.
Franken, a Democrat, has been in the Senate since 2009.
I know that the work I've been able to do has improved people's lives. I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
Al Franken says he'll resign in the coming weeks. After that, University of Virginia political scholar Larry Sabato.
What's going to happen is the governor of Minnesota, who's a Democrat, Governor Dayton, will appoint an interim replacement, and the seat will be up in November 2018, less than a year from now.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Markets are in plus territory today. And we're joined by Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading and the author of the book Calculated Risk. And he's based in Chicago. Mike, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about what's happening on Wall Street right now. It was kind of a tepid open, but then the markets, the Dow at least, jumped up by 100 points or so. What's driving the market today?
Yes, good afternoon, Rob and Chris. It actually started off pretty slow, as you said, and the markets were pretty much unchanged. And we've just got a bid as we hit the noon lunch hour, and the S&P is now up about 40 basis points. So it looks like a little bit of a rally here to go along with what's going on in Bitcoin as well. It seems like everything's going green now.
What is the story at Shake Shack? There seems to be some interesting moves going on with its stock price.
That's one of the big movers today. It's up about 8%. It's up 50% from the lows that it hit this summer. Certainly some of this could be a short squeeze. Half of the shares outstanding in the stock are sold short, which is a very high ratio, meaning there's a lot of people out there that are short the stock. Some of them may be buying it back in, which is causing some of the upward movement in the stock. Again, it's up 8% on just a Morgan Stanley upgrade. That seems like an awful big move for that type of a news event. And a lot of it, as I said, could be this short squeeze. The stock is awfully richly priced right now with a P north of 70. So, and the news in the stock hasn't been that bullish. Same source sales actually are declining in Shake Shack, and the space itself, fast casual dining, has not been a big winner of late. So, you know, right now my feeling is the stock I would consider it overpriced, and a lot of the movement that we're seeing, a lot of the volatility might be based on the short squeeze.
Lululemon, the yoga pants people, as I like to call them, they had a pretty nice third quarter. First off, it's a product that's selling well, but is there real competition inside the athletic apparel space? Is it really a hotly contested portion of the retail sector?
It actually is. There's some big players, as you know, some names that everybody's heard of in Nike and Under Armour would be two big names in the space along with Lulu. But Lululemon has found a really good niche in the yoga wear and especially for women. And it's a premium product that they've been able to keep pricing high on. And so they haven't been affected as much as some of the other retailers by things like Amazon, because they've been able to hold up with their pricing because of the brand that they've built. So their numbers, they just came out with earnings of 56 cents versus a projections of 52 and on sales of $619 million, which was all above what the analysts suggested. And, you know, the stock's up about 6%. It's had a good run. It is also richly valued, but in this case, it could be for good reason. They definitely have been able to carve out a very good niche in a very competitive environment. But when people think of yoga wear, especially for women, you know, Lulu is the name that everybody thinks of.
Michael, contrarians are warning investors about Bitcoin, but it continues to climb. It's over $19,000 now. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, you know, when you're trying to, I'm a value investor at heart. So when you start talking about things like Bitcoin that have no earnings and a very difficult way of trying to value them, it gets very hard to put a price on something like Bitcoin. So right now I'm seeing a quote of around 16,000, but it has had a range just today of like almost $4,000. That's like a 25% range in one trading day. Now the Merck and the CBOE here in Chicago are both going to start trading futures in this thing very soon, and it's going to be interesting because the margin requirements are not set high enough, because this product trades with such volatility that it's going to be the first few months are going to be very interesting to watch. I think the Merck and the CBOE, certainly they know what they're doing, and it probably will add to the validity of Bitcoin just having them on those exchanges. But I'll tell you, it's going to be like the Wild West at the beginning here, because you know the product itself, just the volatility is almost unprecedented. So we'll have to see. The CBOE, I believe, starts this Sunday at 5 o'clock. So if anybody wants to enjoy the show, that's when it's going to start trading, and it's going to be interesting.
We'll be watching. Thanks so much, Michael Palumbo, founder Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Ahead, Technology Thursday, the price of Bitcoin rockets higher, but is there a crash landing ahead? We continue the conversation.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Technology Thursday, and we continue our conversation on Bitcoin. It has now topped the $19,000 mark on one exchange, and that is up more than $7,000 in less than 2 days. We are talking with Bill Ulivieri, who is owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Bill, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. We were just speaking with an analyst who predicted that if we watch the trading begin on Bitcoin here in Chicago coming up pretty soon, it's going to be like the Wild West. What do you think?
Going to be like the Wild West?
Already
it
is?
It already is the Wild West. It's already began. You know, Bitcoin was born in 2008 and 2009, and it kind of went through the terrible twos from 2010 to roughly 2013. So now we're just seeing it grow up a little bit. It's being listed at the Chicago Board Options Exchange Sunday evening. The Chicago Mercantile Group will be listing futures, so it's very exciting because we're really watching history in the making. This global currency that is not sponsored by a state or nation. It's an amazing time to be an investor and be a part of this.
Do you see price rising from 19,000 now? You see it just continuing to achieve higher prices?
Well, the more it receives and achieves global adoption, I definitely think the price can continue higher. But we also have to remember that at $19,000 a token, which is where it traded just a few hours ago, its market capitalization is greater than Walmart or Chevron, McDonald's, GE, all the big companies that we know and that we're familiar with. And so once it starts trading at around $21,000 a token, its market cap will be greater than ExxonMobil. So, yes, I think the rally is a little bit overdone, but I've been saying that for a long time. It's about supply and demand, and there's more demand for Bitcoin and this type of cryptocurrency than anybody ever dreamed.
Technology Thursday is sponsored by Baird, and the reason why Bitcoin is so scarce quickly is that the energy requirements for a computer to actually make all the calculations and develop a Bitcoin are just incredible.
Well, that's not technically what makes Bitcoin rare. What makes it rare is the fact that only 21 million Bitcoin tokens were originally programmed into the Bitcoin algorithm. So what happens is as time goes on, the reward for being a miner, the reward for participating in this economy gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So that's one of the reasons why we have to expend more energy costs to get the same number of tokens. But it's really a function of its original design being a deflationary currency rather than an inflationary type of currency.
Fascinating stuff, as always. Thanks a lot, Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management, based in Glenview. Join us this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, surge pricing could prove to be quite costly to rush hour drivers.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Timing could be everything for toll road drivers with the increasing application of surge pricing in some U.S. cities. Let's talk about the possibilities in our area with Joe Schwiederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University, based here in Chicago. Joe, welcome back to the program. This demand pricing or surge tolling, for lack of a better word, is taking place in Washington, where it could cost up to $40 just to drive 10 miles. How does this work?
You know, this on Monday, the Virginia Department of Transportation unveiled a new congestion pricing scheme for about a 10-mile stretch of Interstate 66, and it sure shocks the motorists because it determined the optimal price in the evening rush hour was close to $40, and it's about a 10-mile stretch, and it's raised quite a backlash among people looking at just if you do toll pricing, just how high tolls may have to go, to optimize congestion.
Well, 15 years ago, the mayor of London introduced a pretty steep fee on cars in the city of London itself, and the worldwide reaction was the nanny state run amok, but it could be the wave of the future.
Well, it could be, and everybody's talking about it. It's an interesting thing, and we're talking about it here in our region, as particularly on the Eisenhower Expressway, the Congress, where traffic gets so bad. And the public is skeptical. I think that's what's holding things back. Economists say, you know, we have to move in this direction because we don't have many highway lanes planned. But I think the public sort of distrusts government and feels it could be used as sort of a big money grab. But I have to say, around the country, you know, where they have toll lanes, it is working. Traffic's moving, achieving its objectives. But boy, this new news shows just how high tolls may have to go in, you know, some of the worst traffic regions.
Well, just imagine the Kennedy, which is locked in by development between Montrose and O'Hare, what the demand pricing would be there at 5 o'clock on a Friday night.
Well, it is remarkable. I mean, we do have the reversible lanes in the Kennedy where we have the possibility to do this sort of thing. We have the, of course, Illinois Toll Highway Authority, which has a whole system of tolls set up. And they haven't been willing thus far to move in that direction. I think here in the central United States, unlike the two coasts, you know, we're often a little slower to adopt these things. But it is coming. And, you know, the real argument that often wins the day is we're going to keep existing lanes the way they are, but create a new lane that's going to be congestion priced. And but this is the first time I've heard that term surge pricing apply to tollways, and we'll probably hear it more.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us today. Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get the latest from the markets from Elisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
Rob, we are in the green. The Dow up 92, NASDAQ adding 36, and the S&P higher by 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining more than 0.5%. Boeing has been the Dow's best performer all year, and it is contributing the most to the Dow's gain now, after an analyst with Bernstein said he sees Boeing benefiting the most from the U.S. tax changes that are coming down the pike. And some of the strength comes from GE, which all year has been the Dow's worst performer. It's on the rise now after General Electric announced it will be cutting 12,000 jobs in its power division. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.